chapter 9, verses 23 and 24 is an interesting text. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. Wisdom can be taken away. Might and power can be taken away. Riches can be taken away. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Isn't that a great passage? It's easy for people to get caught up in this world thinking, you know, we got to acquire wisdom and power and wealth. Isn't that amazing? We want to be smarter than everybody else. We want to be more powerful than anybody else. We want to be richer than anybody else. And it's just very easy for people to get caught up in these things that are only temporary. And God says, don't be foolish. If you're going to glory in something, glory in the knowledge and understanding of me. If you understand me, if you know me, glory in that. For I am the Lord, and I am exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For I delight in these, says the Lord. Now there is a very real sense in which we can never know God in that way. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Our title tonight is Knowing God. And in one sense, we will never know. We will never understand the ways of God. We will never understand His judgments. We will never understand His will in that respect, His decisions, when He decides to answer a prayer or when He doesn't. We will never see the big picture like God sees it. We are limited in that respect. We're limited by the here and the now. Time and place. We can only be in one moment in time and one place at a time. But God is not limited by time or place. And God always sees things more than we're able to see. And He always has judgments beyond our ability to understand. So there are ways that we can never know God. But what does it mean then to know God? As He says in Jeremiah 9, he that understands and knows me. What does that mean then? The psalmist says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. That's what we're talking about tonight. Knowing God involves knowing who God is and what He expects from us. That is what it means to know the Lord. Knowing God is all about that. But what is it that God is wanting us to know? What does He want us to know about Himself? Well, He wants us to know who He is. Hebrews 8:11, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me from the least to the greatest. This is talking about in the Christian age, in God's kingdom. They will know who God is. You know, one of the obligations that parents have is to teach their children about God. It's imperative that we teach our children the limits. It's imperative that they understand. That's why the terrible twos and the terrifying threes are such a trauma for parents, because children don't understand the limits and they think that the world revolves around them. But they've got to learn that you have to do what mom and dad says, not what you want. And you may not like it, but you're going to have to just deal with it, because you got to do what we say. And then as they grow older, they come to understand you have to obey the teachers. And they will come to understand you have to obey the police officers, the law enforcement, the government. And during this whole process, you're teaching them to respect God's authority. You're teaching them to understand that God is over it all and that we must be pleasing to Him. Throughout this whole process of helping our children learn, we're training and helping them to shape and to be wired correctly to understand who God is. We need to know God Himself. We need to know His Son, Jesus Christ. John 17, verse 3. And this, oh, what a wonderful song. What a wonderful song that is. I wish we could sing it here. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. What a beautiful, beautiful song that is. And it is truly essential that we understand that. That we know who God is, that we know His Son, Jesus Christ. God wants us to know the truth. By the way, that was John 17, verse 3. He wants us to know the truth. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, God is our Savior who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. We're talking about God's Word. We're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what's going to set us free. Set us free from the law of sin and death. Set us free from condemnation. Set us free from God's wrath and God's impending judgment. So it's essential. God wants us to know who He is, His Son. He wants us to know His truth. He wants us to know His will. Paul admonished the church at Colossae to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Why? Why do we need to know this? Why is it necessary that we know all these things? Well, first of all, this is deep and this is rich. Now, everybody loves chocolate. If somebody doesn't love chocolate, they need medical attention. Okay? Everybody loves chocolate. It's rich. It's deep, dark, good, just fabulous stuff. And everybody's going to want to go get something made of chocolate after we finish here today. I just know. But we like things that are rich. Henry loves rich, dark coffee with nothing good in it. I don't like that kind of coffee. I like creamer. And I put coffee in it so people won't think I'm weird. But people like rich things, deep things. One of the appeals of gold, you know, they make all these commercials on TV about you need to get gold and you need to put gold in your portfolio and you need to have gold coins in your safe at your house if you have a safe at your house. You need to have something. You need to acquire this because it's riches. It's valuable. It's important. That's what they're trying to convey to us. This knowledge of God is deep. It is not a shallow thing. It's deep. We're going to talk about that next Sunday morning. Digging deeper. We're going to dig deeper next Sunday morning as we prepare for our Vacation Bible School about finding the treasure of God as we dig in an archaeological site. And that's going to be a lot of fun. So next Sunday morning, we're going to be digging deeper into the Word of God. But this knowledge is rich and it is deep. Romans 11, 33, it is an excellent knowledge. Paul speaks of the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Philippians 3 and 8. It helps prevent us from erring from the truth. Matthew 22, 29, Jesus answered and said to them, you do err not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. And of course, we need this knowledge lest we be punished, lest we face the wrath of God. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9 warns us that God will, when Jesus returns, He will take vengeance on those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we have to recognize that, you know, there is no getting around this. You need to know God. If you want to have life, if you want any hope at all, you need to know God. What does this knowledge do for us, though? What does it do for us? Well, it gives us peace. Peter mentions this in 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace are multiplied in the knowledge of God. If the more you know God, the more at peace you are. The more you understand how God takes care of us and protects us, how He's with us. The more you understand the promises of God, the more peaceful you are. The more at peace you will be. It gives freedom. Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It gives life. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then Peter goes on to say, add these Christian graces. You know what they are. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control or temperance, to temperance perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly love, to brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness add love. Watch this. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you neither to be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more we get into God's Word, the more we study it, the more we're going to learn, the better we're going to know who God is. We're going to understand better what God can do for us, how God can help us as we deal with habits that we're trying to break, like we talked about this morning, as we deal with the level of our commitment to God, as we deal with the temptation to sit at home and do nothing versus get up and do something in the name of the Lord. Go to the hospital and see some sick folk. Go to the nursing home, visit someone who's shut in, someone of our members shut in, or to fix food for a sick family. To go and knock on the door of somebody that you care about and try to get them to come to church, or better yet, to try to get them to study the Bible with you. As you try to do good works in the name of the Lord, the more knowledge you have of God, the more real all this becomes to you. It's not just something you do, it's what you become. You're becoming more and more like Jesus. That's why we need it, and that's what it does for us. And you know what else it does? If you look at verses 10 and 11 of the same chapter, 2 Peter 1, it also opens the door to heaven for us. It opens the door to heaven. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. I like promises like that, don't you? If you do these things, you will never fall. Some people worry about, will I stay faithful? They worry about their future. They're not sure, you know, what's going to happen in my future? Will I stay faithful to the Lord? Well, you have this assurance from Peter, and but through the Holy Spirit from Jesus himself, that if you do these things, you will never fall. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know what that's talking about? Heaven. It's not talking about the church. That verse is talking about heaven, our reward, our home with God forever and ever. And I want to go to heaven, don't you? I want to go to heaven more than anything that I have ever wanted in my life. I do not want to burn in hell. I was talking with Faye about this last week, about the dangers of fire and how just it's horrible to think of a person being burned and the very idea that somebody would be burned forever and ever and ever. I cannot wrap my head around that. I can't get my thoughts around that of eternal punishment. I want eternal life. I want to go to heaven. It's too important to risk missing. And so Peter says, add these things to your life. Because if you do these things, you will never fall. You know what else this knowledge does? Knowledge of God. You know what else it does for us? It causes us to grow. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The more you know, the more you grow. The more you know, the more you grow. It just works like that. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. It will make us wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15, we learn from Paul that from his childhood, Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make him wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The knowledge of God makes us wise to salvation. and it renews us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. You have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You know, here's the thing about it, though. It's one thing to know. It's another thing to obey. And we talk about having faith in God and the importance of faith. And faith implies obedience. And if you don't obey, you don't really have faith. It's that simple. Knowledge is the same way. You can have all kinds of knowledge. You can know the Bible backwards and frontwards. You can know every word. You can know all 31,200 verses that are found in the Bible. You may be able to quote every one of them and know exactly where it's found. And you may even understand everything about it. But if that doesn't change your life, if it doesn't do anything for you, if it doesn't cause you to do something about it, then it's done you no good at all. Knowledge was never intended to stand alone. We're to combine knowledge, the knowledge of God, with the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, if I have not love, I am nothing. Nothing. The knowledge of God is to be combined with a passion for God, a zeal for God. In Romans 10, 2, for I bear them record, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And Jesus stated, as he was quoting prophecy when he cleared the temple, he said, zeal for thine house has eaten me up. That's passion, folks. Passion. There must be this emotion, as we talked about this morning. And it's not something when you try to artificially generate. I'm saying you have to open up your heart to let God rule over your life and over your whole heart, the intellect, the will, and the emotion. You have to put God in charge of all of it. There must be a zeal for God along with that knowledge of God. And then, of course, we've got to go about doing good. That's what it says about Jesus. Everywhere he went about doing good. In James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1, verse 22. So we need to be people who are doing God's word, who have a zeal for God, a passion for God, and who have the love of God reigning in our hearts. The knowledge of God, that's what it's all about. Knowing God. Knowing God. Now, at the end of time, though, the thing that really is going to matter at the end of time, as you stand before the Lord, judgment day is what I'm talking about. And you stand before the Lord. He calls you up there before Him, before the judgment bar. Man, is that an anxious moment? Is that a frightening moment? You're standing. It's your turn. You're not next in line. You're there. You're standing before the Lord Himself, before the Creator of the universe. You're standing before God Almighty, the Heavenly Father. And as you stand there, you wait for Him to pass sentence. And it will either be, well done, good and faithful servant, or it will be, depart from me, I never knew you. As important as it is for you to know God, He must know you. That's why you must obey the gospel. You must become one of His people. You must be a part of His family so that He will know you. You must live your life in service to Him. Be faithful to Him. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean you're going to get all your spiritual ducks in a row. It simply means you're going to be faithful, loyal to Him. You're going to try every day. You're going to keep trying. You're going to keep trying. You're going to keep trying. And every time you fall, you get back up. You never quit. You never give up. You never give in to sin. But when you do, you repent. And God stands ready to forgive. And that does not blot your name out. The most horrible thing that you could hear Jesus say is, I forgive. never knew you. So you need to be a child of God. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. If you're already one of His people, but you've not been faithful, you need to dedicate yourself to Him. It's imperative that you know God. It's also imperative that He know you. And so if you're not ready to meet Him, if you're not ready for that day, do something about it. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.